Has everybody been taking the online quizzes? Like I said, if you take the quizzes, pretty much our exams are going to be coming straight from those quizzes. So that should put you in good shape if you can pass the quizzes. If you have any questions, I didn't look online much this past week to see if there was any questions. But, you know, I think everybody the first week for sure, I know the quizzes, everybody did extremely well. So continue to do that. Amen. All right. We're going to go ahead and get started. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We thank you for apostolic authority. We thank you, Father God, for apostolic order. We thank you right now, Lord God, that you're establishing something, Lord God, and we're a part of something, Lord God, bigger than ourselves. We thank you for this. We thank you, first of all, for our apostle, for this school, Lord God, for ever increasing Word Training Center, Lord God, for Word of Life Christian Center, for what God is doing here in our midst, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be a part of this move of God, Lord God. Hallelujah. This apostolic government, Lord God, that we can walk in honor, that we can, Lord God, serve, Lord God. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing by your Spirit. And Lord, as always, Holy Spirit, I'm expecting you to show up, because if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I'm leaning and relying totally, completely upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And before we read that, I'm just going to make a point here. God's government is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, but also to Jesus. He's the head. You know, the Bible calls him the chief cornerstone. The Bible says that the government is upon his shoulders. And what the apostle is doing is he's bringing order, bringing the apostolic the way God initially intended it to be. And where the apostolic is, there's got to be honor. There's got to be that honor what God has ordained. Honor what God has blessed. Amen. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verses 6. It says 6 and 7. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, and the increase of his government, and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice for henceforth forever. And the zeal of the Lord will perform this. Now, the key things I want to point out is that it says that the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, Jesus, as I stated earlier, being the chief cornerstone, the government of God is upon his shoulders. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. God is setting in order his kingdom. And I stated right before we started, I said that honor is the structure of honor, God's divine order. When you walk in honor, you are following divine order, and you're not usurping authority. That word usurping authority means you're walking out of position, that you're doing something you hadn't been ordained to do, or you're stepping over your boundaries. It's so very important that when you walk in honor, that you know, Apostle talked about it earlier, and we talked about it in the earlier classes, protocol, you know, and that's so very important, following divine protocol. Looking back in Isaiah, where we were just at, in Isaiah chapter, did I say 9? Okay, I wanted to make sure, because I thought I was looking at 6. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, for the increase of the government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it. You know, government is ordered by God. You know, I stated in our first class session that the anointing of God always flows down from the top. The Bible talks about how that anointing all ran down his head and ran down the shoulders. And every part, when it's in position, will receive everything that it needs in order to flow properly and to do what God's called you to do. If God's government is not properly ordered, it violates God's divine order, his protocol. When divine order is restored, the supernatural will be uninhibited because the supernatural flows from divine order. A lot of times in churches or in a setting where people are ministering, if something is out of order, God cannot flow outside of divine order. What I mean by that is outside of his established government. And that's so very important because when you're serving God, you always want to make sure, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm doing it according to divine protocol. Give you an example. I will not take a ministerial assignment without first getting permission and getting approval from my man of God. It just won't happen because when you go out and you're going out with his unction and with his blessing, you're going out in divine order. And actually, you're walking in honor because what you're doing is, first of all, you're acknowledging him and you're acknowledging that, you know, just like Elijah and Elijah, I'm going to only do and say what I've heard my man of God say and flow in the same vein because that's you know, how can I put it? You never want to just do your own thing. You never want to just do your own thing. You know, because God has placed for so long in the body of Christ, you know, and we're talking about honor, but I want to kind of illustrate how some people get out of order and because they're out of order, they're in dishonor and they're not submitting properly. They'll just go and start something, you know, but they hadn't sat under nobody. They hadn't submitted to a man of God or to a pastor, and they just doing their own thing. You never just want to do your own thing spiritually. You always want to make sure that I, even on a job, in the military, in anything that there's structure, you just can't just do what you want to do. You know, I just can't decide one day, well, on my job, I'm going to do something totally different from what the job function is. You know, you get disciplined because of that. But, you know, why is it in spiritual things people feel like, well, I can just do my own thing? When you want God's blessing and God's divine, flow of his spirit to move on what you do, it's so very important that you flow in order. And by flowing in order, because God orders it, you know, through apostolic government, through getting permission, through knowing what you're doing is orchestrated by God. You know, I was reading in the book of Numbers earlier today. Matter of fact, let's go there. I'm gonna give you a little quick lesson, and it actually happened by accident. Let's go to Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1. I'm gonna just kind of show you how God operates. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. Everybody there? Okay, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai." So who did the Lord speak unto? He spoke unto Moses. It didn't say he spoke unto the congregation. It didn't say he spoke unto anybody, but he spoke unto Moses. Let's go to chapter 2. Numbers chapter 2, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron." Now, Aaron was the high priest. You know, here again, God's order. Anointing flowing down from the top. And if you read further, he gives instructions to the people, you know, or to Aaron or to Moses, what he commanded the people, what he wanted the people to do. But the instructions came from God. God spoken to Moses. Moses was God's apostolic authority on the earth during that time. You know, everything the children of Israel did, they did because Moses got instruction from God. You know, and getting back to what we were reading earlier in Isaiah, you know, to order it, you know, the kingdom of God, God's government is built on the foundation of Jesus, you know, upon his shoulders. But then I also said that is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So God uses his men and women of God for that order to flow. And in that order, when you follow and flow in that order, you're walking in honor. And that's so very important. You know, honor is just as much as what you do by being obedient, by yielding, and that's so very important. Then and I mean, the seed has a lot to do with it, but also if you don't do what the man of God has commanded or said, because this is the direction God wants us to go, when you question that, you're out of order, and when you're out of order, you're actually operating in dishonor, because you're not honoring what God has established, what God has set up. And that's so very important that we recognize that we as the children of God need to walk in honor. And by doing so, we walk in the order of God. God is restoring divine order back to his church so that the government can function properly. When divine order, which is a part of God's government, is restored, the supernatural will be uninhibited, because the supernatural will flow freely from divine order when it is established. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do is going to flow. And people are going to get blessed, and people are going to get delivered because the order and the honor of God is in proper perspective. Let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13, right quick. Romans 13. In Romans chapter 13, we're going to be looking at how all authority, all power is orchestrated from God. Romans chapter 13, let's look at verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, or you can say the higher authorities. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, or are ordered by God. What's that saying is, he is authority. He is power. All authority comes from God. He dispenses it. In other words, God uses whom he chooses. And what God has set up, it goes on to say that whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance or the order, you can say, or resist the order of God. And they that resist shall of themselves receive damnation. So all power, all authority comes from God. And even in the natural realm, police officers, lawyers, you know, mayors, governors, you know, people in positions of authority. One thing about order, where there's no order, where there's no government, there's chaos, there's calamity, there's division, there's strife, there's all kind of ungodliness running rampant. When there's no order, because the structure is totally out of whack. God is a God of order. And for, you know, if you've ever been in an area where everything was just pristine, everything was flowing perfectly, there's going to be peace. There's going to be a sense of tranquility, a sense of oneness. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. But if you go into an area where there's chaos and calamity and all wickedness is and everything, because there's no order, there's no structure, and the presence of God, you know, even though and what it is that when people resist, getting back to Romans 13, let me get back to that. It says in Romans 13, it says verse 2, whosoever resisted the power or the ordinance of God, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For the ruler is not a terror of good. In other words, those people who are in a position of authority, they're not there for the those who do good, but those who do evil. Wilt thou then therefore be afraid of the power? No. If you abide by the speed limit, you don't have no fear of the police officer. Why? Because you're abiding by the law. If you conduct yourself as a citizen of the United States, abide by the laws of this land, you shouldn't have no fear of being arrested or being reprimanded. Why? Because you're abiding. But when you now begin to operate outside of order, even in the natural, there's consequences, you know. And the thing we have to understand, that works in the natural and it also works in the spiritual. And so we need to know how to flow in divine order. And by doing so, we're actually operating in honor. Well, it's an area of operating in honor, because you're honoring the powers that be. You're respecting. You always want to respect the position, respect the office, and respect the men and the women of God that's been placed in those positions, because that's where the blessing will flow. That's where the honor is. Amen. Now, when you receive to yourself, but when you do not resist divine order, but you submit yourselves to it. A key word is the word yield. When you yield means, Lord, I'm giving you the right of way. I'm yielding to the powers that be. I'm yielding to the authority that you have set me under. I'm submit, yielding and submitting. That's so very important. We're going to be talking about that more this semester, of a position of yielding. And I always use the illustration, when you yield to something, you're allowing, you say, Lord, I'm just yielding to your spirit. I'm yielding to the man of God. I'm giving him a right to speak into my life. And it's not only just the right, but I'm also now taking what I've heard and I'm applying it to my life. And I'm bringing honor because of the fact that honor is also doing. And obedience has a lot to do with it, by walking in obedience, by being obedient. And when you walk in obedience and obey what's been given unto you. See, God doesn't look on the outward appearances. He looks upon the heart. And it's so very important that we, when we do something, we do it out of a heart of love and compassion, and not so much always just out of duty. A lot of times people will do something. I never forget the illustration of the young boy. He didn't want to. He was getting out unruly and they forced him to go sit in the corner, but he didn't want to stand in the corner. He didn't want to stand, but he did it out of, you know, because he was forced to. And it's kind of like he said, I'm standing up, but in my heart, I'm really sitting down because I don't want to do this. You know, I'm doing it out of duty. But when you do it out of a heart and compassionate love, God is now able to manifest himself through you in a greater way. When people walk away, I'm giving an illustration. And now we talked about this, I think it was last week. When apostle is ministering, just like when the president comes into a room, you stand up, you give honor. I remember he came in early. It was only three or four people in there. I was sitting in the back. When he walked up from the back and says, I want to teach you some things on health, I immediately got my Bible and my book and I went to the front. And he just started, you know, so you stand up. I saw him come in and I stood up. There was only one or two people in there, but it didn't matter. Because I'm respecting and honoring, and by doing so, you're showing God that you respect His government. You respect the government of God. All right, I don't want to belabor that too much, but I want to make sure that we understand that honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is released. I'm sorry, how the anointing is received and how the people act on what has been released. Let me say that again. Honor is reciprocation. When you reciprocate, that means when somebody gives you something, you reciprocate back, or you give back. So honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received, when the anointing of God comes forth, how you receive it, and also to how now you act on what has been released. You know, you have to act on what has been released. If you never applied, you're really not walking in honor because you're not giving it the full diligence of what you need to do. So honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing of God is received and how the people act on what has been released. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation. This is what the author says, Bishop Tudor Bismarck says, in ministry, there needs to be reciprocation where the people are sowing into a gift and receiving impartation instead of business contracts with no impartation. A lot of times in ministry, if a person is asked to come to a church or to minister an itinerant ministry, some ministers will say, well, I want you to sign this contract. You know, you're going to do this and we'll do that for you. So it turns out being a business proposition instead of them now having somebody to come in and allowing that gift to flow and then sowing into that gift. Instead of saying, you know, we're going to give you so much if you do this. No, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to go. You're supposed to, in ministry, that, like I said, there need to be reciprocation where people now are sowing into a gift, you know, and receiving the impartation, you know, instead of having some business contract saying, well, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. And this is what we expect you to do, because a lot of times people are called someone in to minister and they're only doing it because they want an offering, because they know brother so-and-so can bring in a good offering. And it should be more about leaving a residue of the anointing and the impartation. And when the people receive and get what God has for them, they have no problem going forth and sowing into that, because they know they've received from God. The author says, in the past, it's all been performance-oriented. It's been about business contracts. The result is that the factors of honor and this reciprocation have not been given or seen. So no impartation or blessing is released. As a result, you know, people, they leave the church with the same sickness and the same bondage and the same financial condition, you know, instead of receiving, you know, the anointing to remove those burdens and those yokes off of their lives. When you honor a gift properly, the apostolic source God has placed in your life, you will receive the benefits, the blessings, the favor, the anointing from that gift. Impartations should take place. Mantles should be released. In other words, when you receive that gift properly, whatever you need, God has it. When you receive an apostolic gift as apostle, whatever you need, God has it for you. But you have to receive, and that's so very important. And you always come with an attitude of expectation, expecting to receive from God. When you expect to receive from God, and your expectation level is high, now God is able to release to you what you need. I want to talk a little bit about sons and daughters in the area of honor. Sons must realize that the hand, when I say sons, I'm talking about daughters also. Sons must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge the father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing they need. I'm going to read that again. Sons must realize that the hands of the father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, sons must honor and respect and acknowledge that the father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing that they need. And that's so very important, because in the natural, we have physical fathers. I can remember whenever I honored my dad by obeying his commands or his voice, whatever he wanted me to do. And once he said something, it was law. You do it this way every time, you know, without exception. Unless he changed the plan, you stick with the program. And by doing so, now there's a reciprocation factor where what you need is provided for you. You know, it was always easy for me when my children obeyed me and did what I told them to do, for me to show gratitude or, you know, get that special gift or buy those special pair of tennis shoes or whatever they might want, because simply by the fact they have responded to my request and did what I asked. Well, spiritually, it's no different. When God, you know, we talked about the heaven to earth connection, how the anointing flows down, and how apostle, we were looking in Numbers earlier, and really I didn't do it justice, but the first 10 chapters in Numbers, the first, and in most cases, it starts off God spake to Moses, and then Moses gave command to the people. You go back and look, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, you know, it's showing an order there. And God was telling me, look at the order, you know, and it's so very important that order is the structure of honor, because it's being released down from God to his apostolic man of God. And that's a vertical relationship between the man of God and the Father. And now the apostolic source now releases it to the people. And now as the people obeyed, give you an illustration of when the plagues were on Egypt, God gave Moses instructions to tell the people to kill a lamb, to kill a lynchian, you know, a spotless lamb, and to eat the flesh, but to take the blood and to put it on the doorposts and on the lintel of the door, and that when the death angel passed, he would pass by their house, because he would see the blood. Those were apostolic instructions come from God to his man of God to the people. And by the people obeying, their firstborn was spared. You know, even now in this day and age, you know, because we're so modernized, a lot of times people think, well, I can do what I want to do. If the apostle said, turn around 3 times, do I really have to do that? You know, does it really take all of that? Well, you see, God is looking at the heart. God is looking at the heart because in a battle, whether it's a spiritual battle, I'm going to give you an illustration. I remember when a gentleman was fighting for his life, and we were basically doing a prayer vigil. Praying but when the apostle came in, he gave us specific instructions. These are the scriptures the Lord gave me. I want these scriptures prayed, and we're going to read and prayed and just keep a solid front. So for 2, maybe 3 days, you know, we constantly did that. And then I remember he made a statement a Wednesday. I wasn't there because I was at the hospital. You know, he says, I don't want everybody there. He said, I only want the people there, who's assigned to be there. And then I had to check myself. I said, Lord, I want to make sure, you know, because I was, even though I'm in a position of authority, I wasn't directly assigned to this particular individual. So I had to call in and I said, look, I just want to make sure that I'm in order, because I don't want nothing to hinder the power of God. I said, if I need to leave and let this other leader take over, because it's not about who I am, but it's about what God wants. And then I got instructions back from Apostle, continue to do what you're doing. And the minute that happens, it's kind of like, wow, I know I'm where I need to be. And so now, getting back to the socket, the power is flowing, because you're not out of order, but you're inside the order. You're operating under apostolic government, apostolic authority, and now God can flow and the power can flow. And on like about the third day, you know, his eyes popped open. He was looking around, and by that Saturday, he was sitting up watching the football game. should have been dead by all, died for the, all practical purposes. But divine order, I mean, it's just, I can't say enough about the protocol, the order, and flowing with God, because by doing so, you cannot help but be blessed. Turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 5. That's the last book in the Old Testament. I'll just read it from here. Malachi chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. I stated earlier how sons must realize that the blessing that they need comes from the hands of the Father. And in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, who's basically an apostolic source before the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come to the come and smite the earth with a curse." So it says, "Behold, you know, I'm going to send Elijah, the prophet." In Luke, it talks about the spirit of Elijah. You know, there is an apostolic spirit or an apostolic mantle that comes down. And it says here that he's turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. In these last days, apostolic government is being restored. And by it being restored, honor has to be there. He says, "I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers." In other words, Apostle shared a little bit about, you know, people being bastards, having no father, having no spiritual father, are disconnected. In these last days, God is, he's, you know, and in order for all this to happen, honor has to be the central theme, where you honor whom God has sent, and you respect and you obey, as I was sharing earlier. And he says, "I'm going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, but at the same time, the children's heart." And see, that's why a lot of times you see people now hooking up to or connecting to a spiritual father, but before God restores everything back to his government, the fivefold ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all of this has to be back in place, but it has to flow in God's order. You know, like one of the things Apostle stated, where there's no competition, but there's going to be a completion where you're flowing together as one. One of the things we've always been taught, you know, you want to operate as one man. You know, in prison ministry, I have a few people in here who's in prison ministry. You know, we flow as one man. You know, no heroes. We all flow together. Whoever starts off, and if they share a particular scripture, we flow in that same vein. If somebody come behind them, we just you know, we don't change the subject. We just flow in the same vein. You know, so that one of the beauties about, you know, this ministry and about what I've seen is that, how can I put it? It's a reverential respect for you know, I'm trying to get the exact words I want to put out. Lord help me. It's a reverential respect for flowing in the vein of God, and not trying to do your own thing. You don't want to do your own thing. You know, you want to follow divine instructions. You want to follow apostolic order, because when you do your own thing, then you kind of like Korin. When Korin rose up against Moses and had a few people that came on his side, you know, Moses told Korin, "Okay, you take your crew and you step over there, and those people that's going to follow me, because God has given me the instruction on what to do," you know, and then all of a sudden, God now opened up the ground and the people that followed him, because he wanted to do his own thing, thinking, well, you know, you're not the only person that God speak to. You know, I can hear from God, too. You know, no, there's a divine order, you know, and you see, that's a true sign of dishonor. When someone or a group of individuals try to do something outside the framework of divine order. In ministry, ministry gifts need to respect and honor so that revelation and impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God sent to you will release the Father's blessing to you. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so that the revelation and the impartation can be released. Honoring the gift that God has sent to you will release the Father's blessing in your life. That's so very important. You want the blessing. You want God's best to manifest itself in your life. I know we already shared from Romans 13, but I want to just share a little bit more. Let's look at Romans 13 verse 3. It says, for rulers elected and appointed, this is an amplified version. It says, for rulers elected and appointed officials are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the powers, God's delegated authority? So do that which is good, and thou might have praise in the same. For God's delegated authority is the ministers of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. In other words, police officers, there's a reason why they carry a side piece, because they're there to protect and to defend, you know, order. Okay, I see. Thank you. They're there to protect and to defend honor. So it's very important that we understand that honor is there for a reason. Order is there for a reason. God is a God of order. He sets up authorities because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there would be chaos, confusion, anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor and disrespect in the land where there should have been, you know, honor and to that authority. That's so very important. God is a God of divine order, setting up authority because he wants divine order in his kingdom. And he's going to get it. You know, it's happening. Without some form of order, there would be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which would result in there being dishonor and disrespect. When you walk in honor, you're giving God not only your best, but you're doing it because, Lord, I love God, and I want to. When you want to be used by God, it's so very important to say, Lord, I don't want to be seen. I just want to be used. And as you learn how to submit and follow orders in divine order and flow properly, that's where a trust is manifested, because now God sees that I can trust you when you're given, you know, instructions, and I know that you're going to stay on the program, stay with the agenda. And when God sees he can trust you, now God begins to use you in greater capacities, simply because, you know, you remember I talked about last week about like being a barefooted priest, stepping very carefully and gingerly, not wanting to be out of order, not wanting to be, you know, and say anything outside of what God would have you to say. One of the things I've learned over the years is to be still and know that I'm God. You know, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, be swift to hear. Lord, what are you telling me? I want to hear. I want to hear what you're saying, you know, and I don't want to be out of turn by just speaking something, you know, and slow to wrath. In other words, if I hear what you're saying and I'm listening, well, then I'm not going to get in wrath. I'm not going to get in error. I'm not going to say something pretentious and that's going to get me in trouble. But I'm gonna only say and do what I know you want me to say. You know, when you begin to flow like that, God can use you because of the fact that he knows that you're going to obey his voice. And by doing so, you know, you're going to walk in honor. Amen. Continue reading your book. And I think this is going to be, quiz number three, right? Okay. And I think after four quizzes or so, I think that's when we're going to have our first exam. Be blessed, and we'll see you guys next week.